Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM. Talkspace.com/boom. B-O-O-M.
No, I'm not for sale.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Colts, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Danley. Thank you guys for joining me here back this week on a Monday, April 10th. And we're going to kick this off with a little bit of something that I think, you know, maybe some of you may not be following super closely. This is kind of the visits that the Colts have had, visits the Colts intend to have, whether it had been, you know, at the Senior Bowl or the combine or just whatever, kind of some of the, you know, the top 30 visits are starting to amp up and stuff like that. And we don't really have a ton of news on that as far as who exactly is going to be involved in that. You know, a lot of that stuff's going to come up here in the next week or so, and it should be really interesting to see who they've got. But I wanted to go through the list of these guys that the Colts have interviewed so far so we can get somewhat of an outlook on who maybe they're looking at, possibly, you know, try to decipher whether they plan to go in certain parts of the draft for a certain position or something like that. And this is going to be total speculation, but I just wanted to go through it and kind of give you guys, you know, an overview of this. And it's kind of interesting just to talk about and kind of spitfire at the same time. So, you know, just running through this list right quick. Well, we'll just go through everything. But, you know, you have to understand that they're going to do interviews with everybody. I mean, every position, in other words. And so don't get too hyped up when you see or hear some of these names that you may not have heard to this point, because I don't know that I had heard half of these names probably. And quarterback Patrick Toles and Alex Torgerson, obviously, I can tell you from extensive watching of Patrick Toles that he's terrible. That's not going to happen. That's totally on upside for build, arm strength, and stuff like that. It has nothing to do with how he's actually played in college. He's awful. He'll not be good. I mean, that was at, you know, his pro day, and I don't understand that at all, to be quite honest with you. But the other guy, Alex Torgerson, he's got a lot of, well, not a lot, but he's got a little bit of heat following him right now. He's one of those guys out of Penn that a lot of people are saying could be kind of the sleeper quarterback of this group. I think he's a good quarterback. Whether the Colts actually draft one or not, I think is kind of, you know, crazy to think about. I just don't think that they'll draft a quarterback. I would assume maybe that they may, and they'll definitely pull one in with their undrafted guys, but I don't see any sense in a draft, even if they were to get an additional seventh round pick or two throughout trading and stuff like that, to bring in a quarterback. I think that you'd be better served just getting some of the undrafted guys, because that late in the draft anyways, that's ultimately what you're doing. Why waste a draft pick on, you know, something that you absolutely do not need at this time? So let's go to the running backs. It's a little more interesting. Kareem Hunt, lots of fire behind this guy. A lot of people like him. I understand why. Good running back. From Toledo. He has a lot of really high floor and really high ceiling attributes to him. Quick dude, falls forward a lot. I mean, you know, just to give you a brief overview of this guy, I've watched a little bit of his tape. He's a heck of a running back. He's not my favorite in this group, and I think you guys know who my favorite is, at least for like a mid to late round pick, but he would be a fantastic pick either way. I'll be honest with you. I favorites, you know, begins to split hairs, but he's a heck of a running back for sure. Dalton Crossan, don't know anything about him. Trey Edmonds, very little about him as well. Aaron Jones from Texas El Paso, I've heard a lot about him lately. He seems to be quite an impressive guy all the way around, to be quite honest with you. Christian McCaffrey, obviously, That would be obviously if the Colts were to go running back in the first round, and that's, and you'll notice that that with some of these names, they've kind of spread them out to early round picks, mid round picks, late round picks, and that's how you, you know, obviously that's how you do your due diligence. Brian Hill, there's been a lot of talk about him ever since before the combine that the Colts were interested in him, wanted to talk to him. They talked to him at their pro day as well, or his pro day. Leonard Fournette, obviously, as well. And, you know, one of the guys that I think has, or a couple guys here that I'll mention at the end that I think have a high likelihood if the Colts are to use a third or fourth round pick on running back will be Jamal Williams and Marlon Mack. Both of those guys, very exciting running backs as far as I'm concerned, very capable, to put, regardless of where they're drafted, of being the bell cow, being the starter going forward. Those would be, in my opinion, the two best picks out of this group as far as getting value and not wasting a first-round pick on a running back. Not wasting, but not using a first-round pick on a running back when you've got so many defensive needs. Second-round pick, I think you need to double up on the defense. Then you get into third and fourth, and then you can kind of figure out where you're going to go with the running back position there. And I think there's going to be a ton of options available. Those two would be my favorite, is somewhere in that range. Now we get to wide receivers, Jalen Robinette. I don't know a bunch about him. I've heard a lot about him, but I don't know anything firsthand, so I'm not going to comment as far as that goes. Noel Thomas from UConn, Robert Davis, Georgia State, Chad Williams, Grambling State, Krishan Hogan, that's a local guy out of Marion College in Indiana, Ricky Jones, also a wide receiver in Indiana, or from actually Indiana University. That guy is slow. I don't know why they interviewed him. Anthony Warham, wide receiver out of Illinois State. Krishan Logan would be somebody that if the Colts were to get somebody late in the draft in this, that I could see them getting. He's impressive. I mean, he's fast, very good hands, showed really well at the combine, and, you know, obviously did pretty good at his pro day as well. So that would be somebody that I think would be interesting, be nice. And the Colts, you know, it's different with each general manager, each head coach and stuff, but the Colts are known to keep some local guys around on the roster. So, I mean, not that I necessarily believe that that's intentional, but it seems that it always happens at least once a year. You'll see at least an undrafted guy or two from Indiana, you know, an Indiana college anyways, be at training camp. So just something to think about. But Krishan Logan, he's gotten a lot of hype and stuff like that. I think that's interesting. And we get to the offensive linemen, Kyle Callis, Darrell Williams. Kyle Callis is from Michigan, Williams from Western Kentucky. Forrest Lamp, also guard from Western Kentucky. He's somebody that the Colts would get higher in the draft. Brad Seaton, Villanova, I like him as well. Very little tape on him, but I've liked him from what I've seen. Mason Zandi from South Carolina, Garrett Bowles from Utah, I like him as well. And Deshaun Bond. Now, there's a guy on here that you don't see, Cam Robinson. I don't think he's on the Colts draft board. I just don't. I mean, from all we've heard of him, he's not a guy that has extensive issues throughout, like an arrest, drugs, you know, not a combination of a couple things. He's got an arrest that he had charges dropped on him in the past, but I still think that there's character issues involved with him. And Matt Miller said not too long ago that from a scout that he had talked to, he said that Robinson was an absolute nightmare off the field. That's going to turn a lot of people's thoughts on them off. And, you know, if this guy is just a jerk off the field in general, as far as personality and stuff too, you know, you don't trust anybody like that. I don't think he's on their board. And, you know, if they got Bowles and Lamp on their board, I also, like I said, Seaton and some of these other guys, that's fine by me. I don't know that we'll get an offensive lineman, but those are some pretty quality guys. A couple tight ends, Gerald Everett from South Alabama, Taylor McNamara from USC. I don't know much about either of them, not going to pretend to. Keon Adams, defensive end from Western Michigan. I've heard a lot about him lately, have not been able to watch his tape. Terrell Basham from Ohio, loved his tape, really liked his tape. He was a guy that a couple months ago I actually wrote that he could probably be a mid-round guy that the Colts would want to go after. Underrated at the time, he's starting to get some pub over the past couple months, and now he may not be a mid-round guy. He may be a early day two pick. So the other guy on there is Carl Lawson. Really like him too. Super athletic, chiseled body. Just He's got it all. A lot of people complain about his bend as far as getting on the edge and attacking the quarterback and being able to kind of bend as far as going around the tackle. He just has raw brute strength, and I just really enjoyed watching his tape. I thought that he was a good one that the Colts could go after. He's got a little bit of injury history as well. Whether that plays into it or not, you know, we'll find out as things go. But I think that Lawson's definitely on their board for second round possibility, maybe a late first round possibility, depending on all the things that go on, trade backs, trade up, just whatever. You know, I think that he's on their board for sure. And I hope Terrell Basham is, because I really like that guy. Ryan Glasgow, defensive tackle from Michigan, Devon Godshaw from Louisiana State University, LSU. He's a guy that's constantly been connected to the Colts. You know, you see he was months ago or a couple months ago that they really liked him. And then they get him an interview. And then, you know, I think that they've interviewed him at least twice. But he's a guy that they must really like. I mean, that would be a guy that you would think, you know, we've talked about Wormley as far as being a 3-5 tech or something in there. They've only really interviewed a couple guys at the position. So that has me, you know, like I said, this is going to change. There's going to be more guys added to this list really soon. And we'll see a little bit more of the Colts' interest in this position as far as defensive tackle goes. So I'm interested to kind of see how that goes out.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to GEICO than saving you money, GEICO also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the GEICO app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Linebacker Tyler Condit, New Haven. Paul Magliar from Arizona. Eric Wilson, Cincinnati. Reuben Foster, obviously, is a huge prospect there from Alabama. They really like him, I think. Without knowing the guy, without knowing exactly who he is or whatever, he doesn't seem like the most intelligent guy in the world. Heck of a prospect, though. But if you guys read my piece the other day from FanRag Sports, you know that, I mean, if we're putting the two together as far as prospects right now, who's the best prospect? Reuben Foster is the best prospect. I, however, with what Jared Davis has upstairs and his ability to lead the defense. Now, I think Reuben Foster has been known as a fairly good leader as well, so I'm not trying to knock him for that. But Davis, to me, has the best three-year projection between the two. I think that Davis is going to end up being a phenomenal inside linebacker for a team. He's going to be one of those guys that everybody wishes they hadn't passed on if he was somehow to go in the second round. Reuben Foster, however, I don't think that you're getting a bad prospect out of that. I just think if we're going to actually, you know, redraft, so to speak, in 3 years from now, I think Davis would go higher than Reuben Foster. Just a projection on my own opinion. You can feel free to disagree. That's okay. But that's just kind of the way I see it. Dylan Cole from Missouri State. These are all still linebackers. Andrew King from Army. Zach Cunningham from Vanderbilt. Really like him too. Super aggressive dude. Really like the way he plays both in against the passing game and in the running game. He has a really good ability to kind of get upfield but also move laterally. Just really good agility as far as wherever he wants to go. And he sifts through the trash when the trash is offensive linemen trying to get to the second level to block him. He does a nice job of defending and warding off those guys. And so that he might be I might not have been giving him quite the props that he deserves, though I'm not bashing him by any means, nor am I talking down about him, but it just maybe a guy that kind of one of the sleeper guys, you would say, who's gotten some pub but still isn't maybe getting what he deserves. So Brian Bell, a linebacker from Penn State, Tim Williams from Alabama. He's another guy. It just happens to be from Alabama, you know, but I just think that Williams is one of those guys that I just don't know if he'll be on the Colts' actual board when it all comes down to it. They've interviewed him. That's fine. That shows interest in his skills and wanting to find out a little more about him. There's just too much in his past that I just feel like he, you know, and then you put his past and his off-the-field issues together with the fact that a lot of teams and a lot of personnel around the NFL find him as a one-trick pony type player to where he's only pass rush and there's very little he's going to do in the running game. I think you add those two together, and I think that that's kind of a guy you pass on a lot of times unless you feel that he's got some of those traits that are easily coachable, which I don't know that they do find that. So he's another guy. I just don't know if he'd be on the Colts board when it's all said and done. When it comes down, yes, their board is – these are guys that they've got. All of them, they've been interviewed. This doesn't mean it's their board, though, okay? Deion Pratt from East Carolina, Tyus Bowser from Houston, love that dude. Really like him. If you haven't watched him, go watch him. You'd think the Colts have struggled in the past having an outside linebacker who could possibly play some inside in sub packages, who needs to be able to cover tight ends and running backs out of the backfield. Go look, go watch Tyus Bowser. I mean, just go watch him on Draft Breakdown or something like that. That dude is in coverage a lot, and he's quick, and he's good in coverage. That would be a huge upgrade in that regard for sure. He's still a little raw against the run. I think he's a good tracker. I mean, he does good in pursuit. So I am all on board Tyus Bowser at some point in this draft. Really like him. Really like his upside. Really like his athletic ability. He's a good edge rusher too. And I just think that he's got the total package, and he's got a huge 2 or 3 year projection for me as well. Javonsie Jones, I'm not sure which that is, linebacker out of Jackson State. This is a recent one from the Colts. Tim Kimbrough as well, linebacker from Georgia. Get into the cornerbacks. Now, this is where it gets a little interesting to me, where you have a couple guys here that are maybe first round, second round guys, but not, you know, you expect to see, I think that we expect to see after talking so, you know, in depth about the Colts and possibly going early rounds with cornerbacks, well, I would expect to see more early round prospects here. But Tristan DeKalb, Oregon State, I know a little bit about him. I've watched some of his tape. I don't think he's a first or second round prospect, though. Quincy Wilson, Florida, really have started to like him more. I've talked to my guy Jonah Tolles a little bit. He's kind of got me a little bit more on board with him. Wasn't a huge fan of him at first, but it was for lack of tape, to be quite honest. So I went back and started watching him a little more, and you can definitely see what Jonah was seeing in him. He's a top-level talent. Really enjoying watching him. Brendan Langley out of Lamar. Brandon Wilson out of Houston. He's getting a lot of pub right now. He's getting, you know, a lot of pub. So that he actually had a fantastic pro day as well, and that was mainly where he got it, because the other cornerback there for Houston, who's also a Wilson, didn't do many of the drills, and Brandon Wilson showed out. So you see how that easily turns people on and off of certain prospects. Not a lot of people were talking about Brandon Wilson until his pro day, and then you get him out there and you see what he's doing, and it's, well, who's this guy? And then people start taking notice, and that's how sleepers come out of nowhere, where you hear their name on draft day, and then it's all like, who is this guy? Next thing you know, he's fantastic. So not saying that's necessarily the case here. I'm just saying that that's what has happened thus far to Brandon Wilson. Shannon Swain out of St. Francis, don't know anything about that guy whatsoever. Lorenzo Jerome, safety out of St. Francis as well. They talked to him at the Senior Bowl. Xavier Moss out of Army. Rudy Ford from Auburn. John Johnson, Boston College. Marcus May from Florida, who's also been known to be a very good leader. So I think that you get, despite Florida's, you know, kind of rocky seasons the past couple years, with Jared Davis and Marcus May in the middle of that defense, those guys had some fantastic leadership. And every single person who's talked about leadership on that defense over the past 2 years has mentioned Marcus May and Jared Davis in that leadership role. And May, they say, kind of ruled the defensive room. And so that's a guy that I think the Colts really need to keep their eye on too. They've long since been interested in him. They've talked to him at least a couple times. And there's been reports from as early as a couple months ago, before the combine ever was around, that the Colts were talking to Marcus May, or at least wanting to. Obi Malafonwu is the other one, safety out of UConn. We've talked about him quite a bit as well. And I'm on the fence about him. His athletic ability is just out of control, off the charts. He is a huge, huge athletic freak. And some people are talking about his possibly a move to corner. I don't see that because of his coverage. He doesn't look for the ball very well when the ball's over his head. He does have the ability to recover, though, with some good speed and stuff. I also Wasn't a huge fan of his pursuit. He does good in points against the run, but there's other times where you see him just run completely past the ball carrier, and it's just really strange. I saw it three times on tape. I put a video up in one of my articles on the safeties that I was comparing him in a later round safety as far as what would present the best value. And Melifonwu was a guy that I saw do it three times. I ended up putting it on the tape at least once. I mean, no point in pointing it out more than once. But it was just really strange to watch him do that. You know, a guy who's still on his feet churning to try to get yards, and he has a clear shot at him and completely runs right by him. I didn't understand it. Like I said, it was something that happened more than a couple times, and I don't know. That it was just something that stuck out to me that was really weird. As a safety, you're there to clean up or, you know, end the play and be the last line of defense against the run. And when you come up that hard, there's no reason for you not to be laying some wood. So I thought that was a little strange. Also, you know, that's kind of the majority of the guys that the Colts have interviewed. I don't know what really I think about it. There's, like I said, there's options as far as for any round, for early rounds, middle rounds, and late rounds as well. And I think there's a lot of those guys in there hoping, or a lot of those guys are there that the Colts hope will be there in the sixth and seventh round. And that would be something that, you know, the Colts will have to work towards, being that they don't have a sixth or seventh round pick. So we'll have to see how that turns out. It's not getting any less exciting. It's not getting me any less nervous, so to speak, when I think about the draft. I'm excited about it every day. It's just waiting too long to get here. I mean, we're in the 10th of April right now, and we have to wait until the 27th. And at that, we've got to wait a solid 2 hours into the 27th to even hear what the Colts plan to do, whether it's pick or trade back, unless they were some sort of a move earlier on in the draft that we hear about. So it's going to be, you know, a great time. It's just hard not to be excited about it. It's hard not to have fun with it. There's been, you know, a lot of talk. In fact, I've had three or four people reach out to me about the Richard Sherman trade possibilities for the Colts. There's a couple things here. I don't see any possible way that Richard Sherman could make it to the Colts. Okay. In general, I don't think there's something up as far as I'm concerned. Either, you know, and this has been floated around too, this is a Belichickian attempt, if at anything, from the Seahawks to, you know, get rid of a guy a day or a year early, as opposed to finding out that he's declining and getting rid of him a year late. He is on a slight decline as far as his ability. Now, he's good. He's in a specialized system that really benefits his skill set and his height and his speed and how he breaks on a ball. That would not work, in my opinion, going straight press man about 60% of the time in Indianapolis, 70% of the time. That would not be a good fit as far as I'm concerned. He's better than anything they've got opposite Vontae Davis, don't get me wrong. But when you look at the possibility of what you're going to have to give up to do that, if it's a draft pick, no. The answer is no, period. I don't care what draft pick it is unless it's a sixth or seventh and the Colts don't have one. So, I mean, that just doesn't compute to me that people would want to trade anything for Richard Sherman. You get a guy who's almost 30 years old, and this is kind of the exact opposite of what Ballard's talking about doing right now. That makes no sense whatsoever. That's not even, to me, a responsible thought process as far as that goes for anybody to think that that would make sense to bring in Richard Sherman. So just kind of wanted to give my piece about that. I don't think that I've talked about that yet or anything like that, but that's definitely not something that I could ever see Chris Ballard doing. It's definitely not something I would ever even think twice about. It would not happen. You know, and you don't bring in a guy like that where he has a bit of a combustible attitude. You don't really know how he's going to jive with the rest of his players. And the fact that there's trade talks when you have everything you see is that Richard Sherman's in love with his supporting cast there in the secondary, and that they're in love with him, you know, as far as having that kind of a relationship. And then, you know, to go to being willing to go to another team and the team being willing to trade him, that, you know, that kind of speaks, you know, volumes as far as where does this come from? You know, if you think he's even decent, you've got a great chemistry there with him and his partners in the secondary. And, you know, my guess is that after, you know, you lose your best safety and maybe, you know, some of the relationship has soured a little bit. He's a guy who has questioned some of the authority on the team and stuff like that. And, you know, that's well within his rights to do it, but it's also well within their rights to get rid of somebody that does that. So, you know, when you're on defense, you stick to defense. You don't question the offense on what their game plan is. And that kind of goes for everybody. And I think that a lot of teams and a lot of players stick to that. So that's just my two cents on that. And that's, you know, basically not a lot of news today, guys, but I appreciate you coming in anyhow. And we'll definitely get you guys with some more guests this week. We've got Jake Arthur. He's going to be on with us. He's going to have his own little segment here on the show every week. That's going to be a good time. One of my best buddies. And then we're going to have Dane Brugler later on in the week as well. That should be a fantastic show. So we've got at least those two, and we should probably get George back on here pretty soon, because you guys obviously love George's Corner. The views or the listens definitely spike when we get George on the show. Plus, he's one of my favorite people to talk to. Great conversation. And, you know, you guys love him too. So, and that's what my focus is going to be, is to try to get the guys on this show that you guys want to hear talk other than my sultry voice, right? So thank you guys for joining me tonight again, and I will talk to you guys all tomorrow right here on Locked On Colts.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily podcast on the Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.